first in reading some of your literature, Bob, I had no idea that the fat pads at the bottom of the feet actually thin with age. Tell us about that.
Well, that's a biological fact, as a matter of fact. And most people, according to our recent study, don't understand that that's an issue as well. But it's actually a foundational issue for what we term skin and soft tissue management for the protection of the foot. Indeed, those fat pads do degenerate over time and degrade and can become thin enough that you feel like you're walking like bone on the floor, and that's all there is, no more protection.
Is there anything we can do to ameliorate that?
Well, you know, it's a biological fact. It's going to happen. So what we'd like to do is recommend methodologies to at least forestall that or protect that foot, even though those fat pads are gone away. We champion something we call the integrated approach to the proper fitting of padded socks and footwear. And what this is, it's not rocket science by any stretch of the imagination, but it involves an assessment by a foot health professional so that they understand what the characteristics of your foot are all about. And then when you know that information, every time you go to purchase a new pair of footwear, you use a pair of padded socks, and we use that term judiciously, padded socks. In our thoughts, socks are not fashion accessories. They are, in fact, clinical accessories to your foot health care. So padded socks, which is nothing more than a carry padding protecting the toes, the ball of the feet, and the heels, where those fat pads normally are found, and that the sock is formed with a defined toe and a defined heel, not just a tube sock. So if you use a product like that, incorporate it with any foot orthoses. Those are inserts or orthotic devices that may be prescribed or designed for you if you need them. And then once you have those things on your feet, incorporate the footwear around all of that, something shaped like your foot, a wide toe box, a deep toe box, plenty of room for those toes to wiggle around, and properly sized length and width for your feet. Put that all together, and indeed, you will have a protected foot environment that will last you for, hopefully, ever. And that's the whole premise of the Institute for Preventive Foot Health, to enable us to have mobility and enjoy our lives as we age.
Now, women seem to have more of these problems than men, and I'm sure you have observed a recent fashion trend where these heels are, 6 inches high. That cannot be good for your feet, right?
It cannot be, as a matter of fact. Biomechanically, the good Lord, Mom and Dad made us to about keep weight distribution on our feet about 50% on the balls of our feet and 50% on the heels of our feet. When you put an elevation under that heel, you automatically thrust additional weight bearing to the front part of your foot, the ball of your foot. And no, it's not at all good for you to do that. Men design shoes for women. Unfortunately, we like to look at those nice feet, and we put them in that elevated position because it makes them look good, but it's biomechanically terrible for your feet. Also, the design fashion trend of making pointy toes, where you squash your toes into a toe box, is not at all the shape of your foot, is not at all helpful for a foot either.
So we really have to go against fashion here. I'm sure you've seen the commercials on TV where you can go into a store for an orthotic and you can stand on something and the computer spits out, well, you need LH1. And then you can get the, Dr. Scholl's is the one that's doing it. You can get this particular orthotic. Is that effective at all, or is it just much better to go to a physician to get a prescription for something like that custom designed?
Well, my personal recommendation would be to see the physician, but I will tell you that those little apparatuses that you can find in drugstores and grocery stores and so forth are much better than nothing at all. At least it gives you some sort of an assessment of where those weight-bearing pressures are on your feet. Of course, those machines are designed to sell a product that the manufacturer has designed, so it's going to tell you, go find that L1 product, whatever it is. But it will at least give you a perspective on, gosh, there may be something with my feet that I should get some more professional attention about. And if that's the case, then I certainly recommend that people see their foot health professional, either a podiatrist, a foot and ankle orthopedic surgeon, a pedorthist, or a prosthetist. Those are the words and the types of skills that people deal with in foot health care, to get a more in-depth assessment of their feet and get products designed that are specifically for their unique and individual feet, because there are no two feet in the entire wide world that are the same, just like fingerprints and earlobes and noses.
Doctor, are you familiar with the book Born to Run?
Not by the title, but if that's the title about minimalist footwear, about wearing no
yes.
shoes on your feet, I'm familiar with that subject.
Okay, well, the question obviously is, the premise in the book is that footwear for running and jogging has become more and more padded, more and more scientifically designed, and the premise is that in the book that the foot is designed to run, and the minimalist footwear is the best, or no footwear at all. What's your opinion on that?
Well, if we lived in more early times where we had earth to run on as opposed to concrete and asphalt, I'd agree with that. The good Lord made us to run on his natural surfaces. Dirt, grass, even gravel and rock with bare feet is not bad. But when we put the man-made issues under our feet, we hold ourselves out to injury of all sorts and all types. So my personal response is that unless you can run on the beach, and that's the place where you're going to do your training, I don't think minimalist footwear is very protective for your foot in the environment in which we live. But indeed, we were made to walk barefoot on natural surfaces. So if you can find those places somewhere, go to it.
Now, what's your thought on specialized footwear for certain activities? There are cross trainers, there are running shoes. Some people say that you shouldn't wear running shoes to walk around in because they tilt your foot at an unnatural angle. Cross trainers, they say, well, it's kind of a compromise for all activities. What are your thoughts on specialization in athletic footwear?
Well, if you're a professional athlete, I think the specialization is outstanding. They are designed biomechanically to fit the activity of the foot. You know, the foot actually does move in different directions and different ways in each of the sports that we engage in. So a footwear that's designed to protect that foot and support that foot, indeed, in the ways those foot moves around, is very supportive. But for the average weekend runner or the household athlete, my comments have been always, you can wear a running shoe for walking, but I would not wear a walking shoe for running. In other words, the more higher the skill, the shoe can work for the lower skilled capabilities, but not vice versa.
Now, what's your thought? Now, the program obviously is aimed at people over 50, and we talk a lot about preventative care. We talk about going to the dentist, going to the internist, and all that. What about the podiatrist? Is it something, if you're not experiencing any problems with your feet, if they feel okay, if they're pretty comfortable, they don't get sore, is this something you should do anyway on a regular basis just to make sure that you're not inviting problems in the future?
I think so. We champion this as part of your routine general well-being healthcare checkup. Not many doctors take a lot of time with your foot. But you know, these little guys have to last us from birth to death every single day of our lives, no matter what we're doing, whether we're bringing groceries in from the garage or climbing Mount Everest and everything in between. So they have to be substantial and supportive. I would recommend it as part of everyone's general health assessment.
I don't know if it's your specialty, but we see lots of ads for laser treatment for toenail fungus. And it's supposedly you can zap it and get rid of it. What are your thoughts on these commercial applications here and fungus in general that a lot of people suffer from?
Let me premise a remark here just by saying I'm not a doctor, so I am not permitted to prescribe, diagnose, or do surgery or give injections and any of those sorts of things, but I've seen plenty of feet in my career as an adjunct support to the podiatry and the foot and health, foot and ankle surgery world. But I do think there is some validity in the scientific literature to laser treatments of fungus. It's proven that in some cases it works. The fungus, of course, grows between the nail bed and the skin, and in some cases it does work. It doesn't work in all cases, and that's the dilemma of all medical treatment at this moment. Of course, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. There are lots of homeopathic remedies for fungus under the toenails as well. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But indeed, I think any fungus designed and needs a physician's intervention, and if that's a podiatrist or, again, a foot and ankle orthopedic surgeon, those are the people who should be dealing with that. There are several medicines out there on the market that can be used as well. Many of them have side effects. And again, only your medical professional should be the one to be prescribing that and monitoring it as you use it.
Robert Thompson, thank you so much for joining us and enlightening us on something that most people don't really think about a whole heck of a lot.
Not very much, and we hope that based upon our conversation today, at least many more people will start thinking about it.